Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Yeah, I'll read from the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. Then the same one who descended is also the one who ascended above the heights of heaven in order to begin restoration and fulfillment of all things, and he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. So some versions say that, and he gave gift unto men. Now, the Passion Translation gives us more clarity to this concept of the office of a minister. He said it is grace. He gave some grace to become this. So it's not a gift. This is a different thing. This is grace. We have the spiritual gifts, the gifts of the spirit, but this is a calling, grace. You are molded into it. Now, these five offices that is listed, what is the reasons why he gave them? He said, and their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. So the work of all the fivefold ministry is to help you to do your own ministry. What is ministry? Service. So this is their responsibility, number one. Number two, and as they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. So in the course of teaching the believers and building them to be able to do their ministry, it will automatically lead to the enlargement of the body of Christ. So from this scripture here, from this translation, we can agree that it is not evangelism necessarily that makes the body of Christ to grow, but it is the development of the individual believers to do their own ministry work that affects the growth of the church. And I agree to it. When it comes to the things of God, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about the quality of product at work in a particular place. So you can go to a particular church where they have over thousands of people, but when we look into it, you have about only 20 or 30 people who are spiritually matured. The Bible said that for God to recognize that an office holder in the kingdom is doing their job diligently, then it means that they have been able to affect the individual believer that they do their ministry work, and it is expanding the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So those of you who have callings upon your life and you are called into offices, take note of this. Until the individuals under our care begin to do that which God has trusted in their hands, then means that we are already failing. Now let's continue. Verse 13. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness in the faith. So the fivefold ministry will be functioning until the entire church. So you see the issue of faith here. I told that faith and belief, they are very related. Are you following? So this is what I'm trying to bring here. So another thing is that they have to function till we all come towards one faith. Until we all experience the fullness of what is it means to know the Son of God. So if you are a minister or an office holder in the kingdom, and you are the only one who knows what it takes to know the Son of God, you failed. Your job is to make sure that everybody there has what it takes to prove that they have an experience or a relationship with the Son of God. I'm just trying to explain these scriptures. I'm still talking about the fivefold ministry. But my point is over here that we all come into what? Oneness of what? Faith. Are you following? Good. So we experience the fullness, not half of the Son of God. This is a serious thing. Fullness. Hallelujah. And finally, we will become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ. Hey, the fivefold ministry is not a small one. So at the end of the day, you become a perfect man who has developed all your full dimensions of spiritual maturity, and you are fully developed into the abundance and overflow of Christ. Not an overflow of your gifts. Not an overflow of your gifts, healing. No. An overflow of what? Christ. So when we say that a believer is fully matured, what we see the person bringing up, the overflow of the blessing, the person is Christ, not the gifts. Is this not serious? So you see the heavy work that is upon the pastor, the prophet, and that is why I believe that in no time we will be encouraging the school of the prophets here. Since God has blessed us with the prophet of God who has been holding the school of the prophets with Daddy Joe, we will find time to start that. Yes, that his lecture period is not giving us time, but we will find one evening. I think you are Friday evening will maybe give us a, we'll find time, one of the Friday evenings, we'll have some 2 or 3 hour lecture on the prophetic ministry. Because when any of these offices is not at work, then there's going to be a deficiency in the maturity of the believer. And that is why we are not seeing the outflow of Christ in the average believer. Because the issue is that there is a lack. The individual can flow in gifts, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I hope you have been seeing all these things. But the Christ we want to see, we are not seeing it. Verse 14. And then our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble. So when a Christian is matured, number one, immaturity, and number two, trouble does not shake the believer. God will help us. Nor led astray by novel teachings or by false doctrines of deceivers. We are talking about false belief. I'm reading this scripture to tell you why we are so much into teachings, and we when we come to church, it seems like we have come for a lecture. It should be so, because one of the things that you need to prove to everybody that you are matured is what I've listed over here. Number one, the work of the ministry. You are able to fulfill your ministerial calling upon your life. Your ministerial calling. Whatever God has assigned you, designed you, ordained you to do on this earth, you will live to the fulfillment of it. That you don't miss your destiny. Number two, that you come to a level of maturity that you can the fullness of Christ, you encounter it. Number three, that there will be an outflow of Christ in you. Number four, that no trouble shall shake you or move your feet. Number five, no false doctrine. No false words. If you are not able to survive these things, or you can't trace these things on you, then you are still an immature Christian. And it means that you are not being serviced well by the fivefold ministry. Whoever is being serviced well by the fivefold ministry, this is the experiences that they show. These are the things we trace them with. So I want you to understand that if you are a Christian, it's not about going to church, singing, and no. These are the reasons why God gave the fivefold ministry. So whenever we gather together, the work of the fivefold ministry, so when the prophet is here to minister, it's not to mention your telephone numbers. We can do that. That is a good thing. As for the man of God, if you allow him right now, he will flow. It's not about telling you what has happened and what's going to happen. At the end of the day, the proof that he's a prophet is that he's able to make sure that you have been able to show for these fruits of your Christian maturity. So I want you to follow very well that what we are doing here is not to just, no. There is a cause for this action. Hallelujah. And today I'm just, as we started, the issues of foundations to deal with false doctrine, which is a part of a belief system, what we are dealing with. So I hope we are on course. You are seeing what we are doing. So we are still talking about false doctrine. But I just want you to know from scriptures the essence of doing or dealing with these matters. Hallelujah. Now, last week we ended at characteristics of false belief. I hope you remember. I gave you how many? Five, right? Five characteristics that defines false belief. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you. We commit today's service to you, Lord. Even as your word is coming, we pray that your word will be mighty in our spirit, our soul, and in our body, and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We establish that if we are not walking in belief, when I'm talking of belief, I mean in respect to the kingdom of God, then we would find ourselves in either unbelief or false belief. Because in this world system, there is no vacuum. At every instant, something is dominating the believer. So we saw the characters of unbelief. Traces that shows that somebody is on the path of unbelief. And last week too, we saw the traces of being on the path of what? False belief. Hallelujah. For time purposes, I would want to continue to what leads to false belief. So today we will be dealing with causes of false belief. The Bible says, "For is there no a cause?" Everything has a cause. Hallelujah. For false belief to start manifesting in the life of somebody, there is one key thing that must happen to the person, and it is called encounter. Everybody say encounter. False belief emanates from just one key word, encounter. When an encounter of a believer is not rooted on the premises of sound doctrine and teachings from scriptures, such believer is prone to false belief. So the whole issue about false belief comes from encounter. That is all. Encounters. There is no any other sources of false belief. And today we are going to look at the three-dimensional encounters that every individual can have, or each individual will come into contact with. Number one, we are going to look at spiritual encounters or encounters with spirits. Number two, we are going to look at encounters with human beings or people. And number three, we are going to look at experience, encounters out of experience. Things that we experience in life that leads us to certain encounters. These are the three things that we are going to look at, because these are the sources of false belief. Hallelujah. If you remember very well, in our introduction to false belief, we established that how we get into belief, introduction to belief, how we get to believe is either we are being told by somebody or we experience it. So out of experience or what people tell us is how belief is what established. Do you remember that? So if you look at the word encounter by definition, encounter is to meet someone, the word encounter means to meet someone or find something especially unexpectedly. So when I said I encountered you, means that I have what? Find you or I have what? Met you. That is the definition of the word encounter. So when you say somebody has had an encounter, that this person has found something or has met something or a personality. So encounters are not only limited to spirit. We can encounter people. So things that we encounter begin to breed our experience. So when our encounters are not guided on the premises of sound, the word is sound doctrine, then those encounters are likely to influence the experience of the believer and will lead the person on the path of what? False belief. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's start with the first one. encounters with spirit or spiritual encounters. Now, the truth of the matter is that spiritual encounters are a necessity to every believer. Spiritual encounters. You see, the thing is that if there is a force of it, that means that there is a truth of it. So, encounters are a necessity to the growth of every believer. Why? Number one, because it is a sign of a healthy spiritual life. You see, encounters are a product of hunger. When you are hungry, you look for something to eat. True of us. And hunger is a sign of a healthy living. True of us. The first thing that they have found out that most sicknesses, one of the first signs or most of the signs that they have in common is loss of appetite. The moment you lose appetite, you know you are sick. True of us. So spiritually, if you don't have spiritual appetite, means that you are sick. So a healthy life, spiritual life, is a product of what? Hunger. And whenever there is hunger, there is pursuit to find something. You see, when you are hungry, you don't care about the taste of the food. Am I the only person here? Are you with me, church? As long as there is a demand by this belly, whatever can fill it. You see, it is only when you are not hungry that you have a choice. Me, I don't like this. You are not hungry. If you are really feeling the hunger, whatever is served, you will sanctify it and eat. Hallelujah. So, one sure sign that you are spiritually healthy is what? Hunger. Hunger for what? Passion. Can we go to the book of Psalm 63, verse 1? Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirst for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and what? Thirsty land. There is. Verse 2. No, I think. Let's go to verse 1. Where there is no. Where no water is. Okay. Verse 2. What is there? To see what? Thy power and thy heart. The hunger of every believer is to see power and glory. It's a healthy sign that you have your spiritual life is on course. If you are here and you are not hungry for power and are not hungry for the glory of God, you are spiritually sick. Moses said that if I found favor in thy sight, do what? Show me your glory. The pursuit of every believer, because the Bible said, for we all with an unveiled face, what? Beholding us in a mirror, the glory of God, and we are changed into the same glory, into the same from what? Glory to what? Glory. So the pursuit, the ultimate pursuit of the believer is what? Glory. So it is only test and hunger that will let you pursue power and glory. Then he said that you see what? All the reason why I'm hungry, I am thirsty, and I'm in a dry land is because I want to see your power and your glory. So spiritual hunger is a healthy sign, and that is what breeds encounter. So one reason why encounters are necessary is because it is a sign that you are healthy. Now, there is one thing about God we need to know. In the book of Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2, give me that scripture. Proverbs chapter 25. Listen to what the Bible says. It is the glory of God to what? Conceal a thing. But the honor of kings to set out a matter. Everything of God is concealed. But what shows that you are a king is that you search a matter. Are we a kingdom of priesthood? Are we kings and queens to the glory of the Lord? The Bible said, for he has made us kings and what? Queens unto the glory of what?
If indeed you are a king, one of the clear signs that you search, and it's only hunger that will push you to search. And whenever you are in the pursuit of search, it means that surely you find something. And that is what we call it. So encounter is necessary because it's a sign of our health, healthy spiritual health. Number two, the reason why encounter is necessary is because all spiritual blessings of God are in the spirit realm. Yes. Hence, it will only take encounters to unveil these blessings in store for us. Ephesians chapter 1, the verse 3. The Bible said that for God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly what? For man received nothing and less from what? Above. Now I want to show you something in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Listen to what Paul said. The reason why encounters are necessary is because the things of God are everything that the believer is in store for the believer is stored in the spirit realm. It takes a person, an encounter, to have them. An anointing is not from reading. An anointing does not come from eating gobe. Hallelujah. An anointing does not come from I tap the shoe. Those things can even that is an encounter. So that contrawise, you author rather to 1 Corinthians. Today, my media people. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Please, if there's a space in front of you, can you come forward so that you fill the empty spaces in front of us? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now see, Paul was talking about, I've already preached on this very scripture before, right? I don't know if you remember. I was talking about the spirit of the gospel. How many of you remember? And I spoke about this scripture very well. That the gospel has a spirit dimension and has an altar of it, which is the spirit of God. So, but we speak the wisdom of God in what? The word mystery. How many of you understand the word mystery? Or means what? Secrets, hidden things. Even the hidden what? Wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our heart. Glory. So there is a hidden wisdom which is of for us, but God made it a mystery as we hid it. Let's continue. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Princes here, he's talking about spiritual territorial powers. They had no access to this wisdom. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord. If they had known that killing Jesus was a key to our encounter, they wouldn't have done it. Continue. But as it is written, eye has not what? Nor ears has what? Neither has it entered into the heart of what? Man. The things which God has prepared for them that love what? So it's not a physical thing. Things that God has in store for you. That is why people cannot predict your tomorrow. It takes an encounter. You see, that's why you should be very careful with somebody who said that out loving people who love God. If a man or woman is in love with God, you can't predict their tomorrow. Because things that makes them are not visible. They're not things that are in the edge realm. You will be thinking that this person needs a certificate to write, but it will just be as overnight. One night. Like the story of Mordecai. He slept as a man who sits at the gate of the king. Woke up the following morning as the advisor of the king. Because the things of the people of God are not stored up in the physical realm. So it takes encounters. Let's continue. Verse 10. As God has revealed them unto us by his word, by flesh, by reading, by eating, by going to church. But it is revealed by heart. The spirit encounters. For the spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God.
So if we want to go deep in God, we need the Spirit of God. And this is a product of what? Encounter.
So encounters are necessary to the believer. Without an encounter, you see, if you are not having encounters, your spiritual, you are not healthy.
You are not healthy.
You have to go to see the medical doctors to work on you. Spiritual medical doctors. You need to go to Jesus to work on you. It means that there are certain spiritual systems of that is faulty. Especially your informative system. It's faulty. Because encounters are necessity. It's a daily thing. Because the things that we receive from God are not physical. We need to assess them. So, as I said, encounter is you finding somebody or finding something or meeting somebody. So, if you are not making, that's what the life of the believer will become very hard. If the believer has no encounters in their life.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to the verse 12. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of what? So nobody knows what you are thinking except your spirit, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of what? So if you want to know God's purpose, the Bible said that for I alone know the thought I have about you. I alone know. The Bible said for we to know the thought of God, the mind of God, we need the spirit of what? We need the spirit of what? So until we encounter the Spirit of God on daily basis, the thought of God, the mindset of God for us cannot. That is why prayer is not a leisure time. Prayer is not an option. It is a necessity. Jesus said that you ought to pray always. You ought to pray because prayer, without prayer, you have denied yourself encounters. The moment you don't pray, have to be very spiritual. Hallelujah. We are still talking about false causes. I said encounter are very necessary. I'm bringing it to a point. You understand why I'm talking about these things, but I'll bring it to a point. Verse 12. Let's end that verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit is of what? So there is something sitting in you called the spirit of what?
God.
The spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of what? That we might what? So the reason why the Holy Spirit is residing in you is because he wants you to know what God has given to you freely. One of the basic reasons why God gave you his spirit is for you to know what belongs to you at free cost. But we can't use our physical means to discover this. We need encounters. So some of you know God, or you have heard about God that is a healer, but you don't know God as a healer because you've not encountered him. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? So this is the second reason. Because all the things that God has for us, is spiritually has stored up. So without encounter, we have no chance. That is why somebody can be born again and die of poverty. Why? Because they didn't get an encounter. See, wealth is not learned from books. There is a spirit called wealth, the spirit of excellency. Say, for I, the Lord, I give you the power. The power. Do you see what David said? To see your glory, to see your power and your glory. I, the Lord, give you the power to make wealth, to be blessed without souls. You can't be blessed without a spiritual encounter. No. You can't rise above any level in life without an encounter. Because the things of the spirit are in the spirit. Unless you travel deep. Hallelujah. Number three. The third reason why we need to have encounters is this. Number three. Our true worship is a thing of the spirit. Our true worship is a thing of the spirit. Because who we worship is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 23. Our true worship. Our true worship is not measured by the physical accolades and things we do. Our true worship is not verified or marked by our physical activities. The Bible says, for our true worship is the thing of the spirit. Now, maybe if you think I'm lying, let's read. This is Jesus speaking. I wish if you had your own Bible, you can see this written in red pen, boldly. Said, but the hour has what? Come. And now is. So we are talking of presence now. When the true one, not that, is that when the what? True worshippers, no? So if you're a true worshipper, this is how we know you. Shall worship the Father in what? And in not truth. So spiritual encounters is necessary because what verifies us to be spiritual is as a product of what? Spirit encounters. I pray for you that what you know as the requirement of being a spiritual person, as somebody who is worship God and love God, will not be judged by your clothes you wear to church, will not be judged by the amount of money you give as offering, will not be judged by the nice voice that you sing at church, will not be judged by the fluent language or oratory you have. But the Bible says, for the true worshipers, worship God in spirit. May you switch into an encounter. May you pant for God like David panted for God. We are in a time and a generation where our heart is so cold to the things of God. We are in the seasons where we find it difficult to even spend 3 minutes with God. We are always on the busy run because we have no understanding that what judges us and measures us as worshippers is not because of the physical things we do. You can read your Bible, quiet time, yeah. But God said true worshippers are known that they do things in what? In the spirit. Are you doing it in the spirit? Are you giving in the spirit? Are you ministering in the spirit? Or you are just doing it because you are not a true worshipper? And he said, listen, for the Father seeketh such to what? You see, look at the qualification to be a called a worshipper. He said, those who worship me in spirit and in truth, these are the people. See, God is looking for a generation. Oh, man, the love of God, Sire. If you don't know that God is in search, this is scripture telling you that God is out there looking for a particular people. And they are the people who worship him in truth and in spirit. I pray that God will find you as one of them. The search of God is not for the beautiful ones. The search of God is not for the anointed ones. The search of God is not for the gifted ones, but those who are worshiping him and are ready to worship him in spirit and in truth. It takes an encounter to worship God in spirit. Give me verse 24. God is what? A spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. And in truth, there's no any other way out. There's no any other way out. I wish there was another option I could give you. But there's no any other option. Must, not shall. The word is must. Worship him in truth and in spirit. So spiritual encounters are very necessary because the person we are worshiping is a spirit. And it requires that we worship him in spirit, not in the flesh. See, we are in a generation where we are being encouraged to serve God in the flesh. Everything the average believer is doing now is a product out of the flesh. There is no conviction. There is no an encounter out of it. People go to church and they sow seeds not because they had an encounter with God, but somebody forced them, compelled them. I've received seeds from people. I didn't even call them. So and you see, the reason that such people will be blessed and whatever God asks them to, because it is out of conviction. Never do anything in this kingdom when it's not a product of an encounter. Don't stay in this church if God has not asked you to be here. No. You are not here to impress me. No. Know where God wants you to be. Because the Bible says he is a spirit. And then that must worship him in truth and in spirit. There's no any other way out. Anything you do, it is cause zero. There's nothing. It is not counted to your benefit. That's why the believers are struggling, because we are serving God in the flesh. and in lies. Don't let somebody's testimony force you to do what God has not asked you to do. We have many kinds of people standing on the pulpit saying all kinds of things to twist your hands and milk you. They'll use their gifts. They'll use their influence. They'll use all their connections to see anything that is compelling. See, the Bible says, for the spirit, they that are the children of God are led. See, the Holy Spirit does not compel. Anything you are doing that are compelling is not God. Write it down. I'm telling you. Whatever you are forced to do, take this from me. Anything that you are compelled, something is driving you. You are under. The God I serve does not compel you. He loves willful activities. He convicts you. Conviction is stronger than to compel. Conviction does not. See, God can let you give and you cry. It is there. I've ever experienced that before. I've shared this testimony here, 2015. A Simple Su Crusade. That was the first time I bought an Android phone. HTC. Very expensive phone. My first time. And I bought that phone within that week. And we heard that there's not much money to support the crusade. And God told me to sell the phone. The funny thing that my roommate bought the phone for the girlfriend. I woke up the next day. I don't know. I know that we are all used to this. You will begin to look for your phone. I searched around the bed and I remembered that I sold the phone. I wept. Since then, I've not bought the phone. I'm telling you, I don't know that I used my own money to buy a phone. This phone I'm using here, Daddy Joe bought it for me. Since then, I've not bought the phone. I did it in tears. And also, for them, that's so in tears. So there are ways God will convict you. But what I'm talking of compelling, I've seen that God wants to send you to USA, bring 1,000 Ghana cedis, let me do something for you. That's not God. Write it down. If you don't give a seed, God cannot give you a breakthrough. It's a lie. That's the thing of the flesh. Take this from me. I'm telling you. If you don't come, if you leave my church, you will never prosper. It's a lie. Cain left the presence of God and still built cities. He left the presence of God. I spoke about last week, the way of Cain. He left the presence of God and he brought civilization to the world. Is that like? Even somebody left God's presence and prosper, how much more you? You're not God. People will force you and bind you to themselves. That is not the spirit worship. Anything that will compel you, take away your freedom. The Bible says, for we are no more under. See, anything that will take away your spiritual freedom is not from God. God is for whatever the spirit of the Lord is, there is one thing. What is the thing? There is liberty. That is the sign that you are at the right place. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I think I'm diverting from my message. These are the three reasons why we need encounters. Hallelujah. Because of these three things, here lies the danger. We are always exposed and vulnerable in the spirit realm. Because everything about a believer is spirit. A sign of a healthy spiritual life is spirit. Things of the believer is in the spirit. Even true worship is of the spirit. So the believer must constantly be spiritual. And this is where the believer is not vulnerable. So spiritual encounters can make you very vulnerable. Because it is not only God who is in the spirit realm. You can ask the prophet of God. Every genuine prophet knows that when your eyes are open, it's not only the things of God that you see. It's not only God that you hear. I've counted that several times. But when I started ministering in the prophetic, I found out that I hear wild things. But thank God that we are grounded in the way. You can see certain things and hear certain things if you don't take care. They are very good things, but it's not God who was talking at that time. So, if the believer is not grounded on scriptures and sound doctrine, the believer will encounter certain things and things that he encountered God. But today I'll give you a test to know whether an encounter is of God. That's not of God. This is why false religion and
false whatever belief started from. Encounters. I don't want to mention him, but how can somebody say that he has now become an angel? You think it's just a normal speech? He had an encounter. People will tell that they went to heaven and hell and they came back. I tell you, it's not the real heaven and hell they went to. Some of them, if you listen to the narratives and you compare to scriptures, you know these people, they went somewhere else. Because the life of the believer is built around, that is why, see, spiritual hunger must be well coached. See, what you have now, let me tell you, the moment you enter into that point of your life, where you are so hungry for an encounter, you are hungry to know more about God, that is the point you are most vulnerable. I tell you, if you don't take care, after when Jesus finished his 40 days fast and prayers, it was the devil spoke to him first. People go to mountains and come back with things. All in the name of had an encounter. The question is, what shows that that is of God? So one of the ways where we fall into false belief is through an encounter, spiritual encounters. I've heard some people asking questions about cosmetology and man of God, stranger, there's a pastor in Ghana, very known. For purposes of a teaching course, really? How to read stars and hey, what kind of encounter is that? Read palms. We will talk about familiar spirits. We will talk about those things, but not now. Reading palms, use all kinds of things that I had an encounter. You know, and you sleep, said an angel came and the angel was hugging me. Jesus. Teaching all sort of things all about angelic ministration. We will have time for that. That's why I said that we will organize a time for the school of the prophet. Then the prophet of God will teach you genuine encounters. Angels are not your friends. They don't come on friendly visits. Take this from me. Any angel that come on a friendly visit is not from God. If you have encountered an angel before, you see they mean business. They don't. No, they are straightforward. Papa, they are God. I've had that 3 times. Angels they mean business. See, they don't have free time to come and mingle with you. No. When the angel of God met Joshua, he said, "Are you for the man? Be very careful with your questioning. I am the commander in chief. Come on, remove your shoes." You think they're here to joke? Because of that question, Joshua asked. He asked him not to walk around for 7 days, not talking. You are talking too much. You are interrupting my activities here. So you people, I'll keep you mute. Move around 7 times. Angel, and you hear people teaching what things about angels. When I hear them, I get scared. Angelic encounters. No, please. Though encounters are necessity, we must know whether this encounter. The questions are both the true believer and the false believer will be open to the same realm. The question is the information you've received, who is giving it to you? That is why the Bible is the basic instrument that every believer must know very well to safeguard you against encounters. Hallelujah. How do we detect a false encounter? I'm giving you the test. Any encounter that is not from God, or how to know that encounter is from God, is to see how Jesus is projected in that encounter. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Encounters with spirit can lead you to false belief. I'm going to show you how Jesus is projected in an encounter, or how people share the encounter and capture Jesus in it. Tells whether this encounter is from God or from elsewhere. You know? Yeah. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every what? Believe not what? Are you reading that? Believe not every what? So it means that you are exposed to spirits. So not every spirit that manifests to you is what you believe. We want to know the ones we have to believe. But try the spirits, whether they are of what? God. Actually, this scripture is talking about the spirit that works in men. but it also gives us basis to talk about the spirits we encounter in our spiritual pursuit of encounter. The Bible says we should what? Test. How do we test? Let's continue. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let's continue. Hereby, know ye the spirit of what? God. Know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. That is a test. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now it is in the earth.
The world.
Now let me talk about this confession that Jesus came in the flesh. Every religion believes in Jesus, but there is one thing they don't believe about Jesus: that he was born as man. Now, can you see them now? Can you see them now? Every religion believes that in Jesus. Some believe in him as a prophet. Some believe in him as a great teacher. Some believe in him by miracles. In fact, some people have wild testimonies about Jesus. It's miracles that we don't have. Some people say that he took a mat, formed a bed, breathed into it, and the bed flee. They have records of what miracles of Jesus, but one thing, they don't believe in. Jesus was not born as man. The devil will never accept that. The moment the devil acknowledges that, that is the day he has totally surrendered. He can acknowledge everything about Jesus, but the only thing you will not acknowledge publicly about Jesus is that he is born of man. That is why they have issues with communion. They have issues with the blood of Jesus. They say what stuff. That's what people, you see, most of the things that people attack are not the epistles. Have you noticed the gospels? I don't mention him. There is this popular guy in Ghana here who claims that there is fault with the New Testament. Look at where he attacks the four gospels. Either he's talking about Matthew, or he's talking about Mark, or he's talking about Luke, or he's talking about John. I'm talking about Avraham Moshe. You know him. These are the scriptures that Jesus, well, it was written about him as a manifestation as what, man. But you see that they will fight it. Any spiritual encounter that does not bring the reality of salvation, because Jesus came in as a man to save the world. There was, for the Son of Man came not to what, condemn them, but to what, to in the world to be what. So any spirit that denies and rejects that role of Jesus as Son of Man and born in flesh and to the life salvation through Jesus, be very careful. That is the test. How is Jesus exalted in that revelation? Because every revelation sum up in what? In Christ. Every encounter you have should reveal Christ to you, not people's cars. See, spirit, do you know that most of these technological advancements we are having in the world are a result of encounters? Oh, you don't follow stories. Some of them are bold enough to confess that they had certain encounters to produce them. Somebody is manufacturing cow wire in Ghana. You think that man is doing out of mere reading of books? No, that man had an encounter, but not from God. You think this secular artist? He wasn't. Is it Beyonce or Rihanna? One of them said that whenever she gets to the stage, what is the name of? She mentioned the name of that thing. It comes. Is it Shasha or whatever? Comes of that. These are encounters. So everything. So what do we need to? We need to know what proves that these encounters of God, spiritual encounters, the test is that it exalts Jesus.
and acknowledges Jesus born in flesh. If you have had any form of encounter that has led you to believe wild things, I pray that God will deliver you in the name of Jesus. I know what we are doing here. See, what I'm trying to do is to guide you from the effects of false doctrine. Let's read this last scripture, then I'll move to encounters with men. Give me Revelation chapter 1. John. Let's look at John's encounter with Jesus. Apostle John knew Jesus in flesh. In fact, he was the beloved of Jesus. He was the only apostle who scriptures recorded that he could put his head on the bosom of Jesus. He was very close to Jesus. John was among the three people that Jesus revealed his true identity to on the mountain of what? Transfiguration. He saw the transformed Jesus with the prophet Elijah and Moses. So John was not somebody who had no knowledge of who Jesus is, but when Jesus appeared to him in his glory state as who he is and as who we are going to see, let's see what happened. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. Let's see what John's encounter over there. I was in the what? So I told that spiritual, and the things of God are in the spirit. What was he? He was in the what? In the spirit. On the Lord's what? Day. And I heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet. Yes. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches, which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto what? Why do you pronounce that word? What? He said, now. As you want. Depending on the school you went to, you can pronounce it yourself. And unto what? Pergamos, and unto what? Tyria, and unto what? Sardis. To Philadelphia, and unto what? Laodicea. Let's continue. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me. And being turned, I saw seven gold candlesticks. There are certain indicators about encounters. I just want to help you. Look at it. Let's continue. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to foot and girt about the paps with a golden. Take me to verse 17. He spoke about, he described what he saw and how Jesus appeared unto him. Now, when he saw him, what happened to him? This is one other proof of a genuine encounter. Verse 17 said what? And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as what? Dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first thing. Any encounter that you encounter that does not instill the fear of God in you, be careful. When John met Jesus by revelation, the Bible said that he fell dead. See, when you meet, you have a true encounter, it humbles you. It kills your ego. It what happens is that you see yourself as nothing. You are dead. Paul said that it's not me that lives. After his encounter on the wilderness for 14 years, when he came back, he said, it's not me who lives anymore. He cries out. Every genuine encounter from the Spirit will keep magnifying Jesus in your life. And you what? So the Bible said that I may what? Decrease. And that he may what? Any encounter that makes you a superhuman being. Any encounter that makes you more superior than other people. Any encounter that takes over your sense of humility is not from God. These are the tests of genuine encounters. Do not be deceived about social encounters. Encounters have tests and proofs that this is the Spirit of God. I pray for you that in your pursuit of encounters, you will not fall prey to false religion and false spirit that will lead you into false belief in the mighty name of Jesus. Quickly, let's look at the second kinds of encounter we can have. I said, there are three encounters that we're exposed to. Spirit, human or men, and experiences. We experience things like, let's look at the second one. You know that God created us as a relational being, true of us. Nobody's an island. So in our daily life, our in and out, every day, what happens is that we encounter what? People. We meet what? We meet what? People. And these people we meet on daily basis affect our spiritual belief. Let me say something to you. The book of Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20. I know most of you know this scripture. Yaki, do you remember this scripture? He that walketh with a wise man shall be what? So, it doesn't matter how foolish you are. Just locate some wise people and work with them. This is Proverbs. You see, I said the book of Proverbs is a whole academic course material that you must study well. I spoke about this some time ago. It had a course outline in chapter 1. From verse 1 downwards, he spoke about what Proverbs intends to achieve. Now, okay, let's go back to where I am. Because of time, in fact, I would have taken you through the course outline of the book of Proverbs. You will love it. So, you if you think you are a foolish person, don't worry. Look for a wise person. He that walketh with a wise man shall become wise. But let's look at the next verse. But a companion of fools. It doesn't matter your level of wisdom. Just one foolish person in your life. It's the tantamount. So that's what certain things you don't need a prophet to tell you. We can just look at you and say, you not go far. When I see the people around you, when I see your companions, I can be very prophetic at that one and say, you will be destroyed soon. I didn't say it to Solomon, the wisest man. He was teaching us here. Say that you put a fool in the midst of a wise people, that fool will be wise. Put a wiseness in the midst of a fool, and the person will be destroyed. Many lives have been destroyed because of the people we encountered. Many relationships, many marriages, many people. You just examine yourself. See, I am where I am today because of the kind of friends I have kept. We are here. Elder Joe, since SHS1. Elder Martin, Elder Prince, I've known these people since SHS1, 2008, 2009. How many years have we been together? Over 10 years. When you see them, when you see me, you know. But I know of other people who are very serious guys, and they found themselves among some foolish ones. And don't forget, in the kingdom of God, according to the parables of what? The 10 virgins. I want to help you in this kingdom. So the kingdom of God is likened unto what? The 10 virgins. I want to help you to know that there are 50% of foolish people according to that parable in this kingdom. Be very careful. Not everybody here is wise. Not everybody who is a Christian is wise. So encounters with people, you should be very careful. The Bible says, for the companions of a fool, if I want to destroy you, it's only one thing I need to do. Just find some foolish people to surround you. Then I'm done. And that's how the devil kills you. Check the life of many people who have been destroyed. The devil, he just locates some two stupid guys to surround you, and then some people were virgin until they went to university and they had the foolish roommates. Some people were wish workers until they went to the mess and they found a wise roommate. Oh, it's true. You know, you see the way you're looking at me. Your faces are telling me that you can relate to what I'm saying. Do I have witness in the house? Can you give me a wave? What are the witnesses here? Hey, you people are not witnesses. Won't God Jehovah witness? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, today you don't like pastor's message. Let's continue. You like it? So, we have encounters with people, and the Bible is telling us that
So whatever group you belong to will determine. We need to know why we should have the right belief system, so that we can avoid some group of what people. Today I'm going to give you some four foolish people. You should be very careful about them. The Bible, number one, we have what we call false brethren. If your belief, false brethren, we can say false prophets in the Bible more. We have false brethren. I'll prove it to you today. False belief can happen to anybody who has a false brethren. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Watch. Galatians 2, 4. And that because of what? False what? Brethren. Unawares brought in false what? Christian brothers and sisters. They have been brought together. Who came in what? Quietly. The Bible said privately. To do what? To spy out our what? Liberty. Which we have in Christ Jesus. That they might bring us into what? Bondage. Be very careful. If your belief system is not right, these people will get hold of you. I've already made certain. They always know pastors. They know pastors that work on marriages. They know pastors that give visas. They know pastors that help relationships not to break. They know pastors who can help you to get the right boyfriend you're looking for or the girlfriend you want. False brethren. They will put you into bondage. Anybody that is around you that makes you find it difficult to live your liberty in Christ, run away. Run away from that person. That is a false brethren. Encounters with men. Don't destroy you. I wish I had time. I would have given you certain scriptures. But if you go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 13, if I'm right, there was a gentleman by name Ammon, who was the son of the king. He had a friend. Who knows the name of that friend? So you don't know I've been under. He gave him a very good counsel. He said, he told Charlie, my stepsister, whenever I see her, something is doing me. I mean, how can you be in love with your stepsister? And the friend gave him a wise counsel. False brethren, pretend you are sick. Tell daddy to send your sister to pray food for you. When she comes, oh yeah, you don't power. I'm right, eh? But I'm had a friend whose name is what? I pray any Jonadab in your life today, may God blind them and kick them out of your life. The death of did you know this was the guy who set the whole family of David on fire? One person can enter into your family, false brethren, and destroy the entire family. Ammon raped Tamar. What is the name? Absalom killed Ammon. Rebelled against his father because of this. Do you know why Absalom rebelled against his father? Because her sister was raped. One advice from a friend set an entire family on fire. False brethren. They know every way to do evil. They'll help you. They'll help you. Oh, unkwa na ye Christo ni. I don't know in your room. Unkwa na ye Christo ni. Eh na yankwa, sorry. Yes, these are some of the comments of false brethren. If your belief system is weak, they will get you. Yeah, just I won't cry now. Oh, yeah, I remember one time a friend of mine who just got born again, and he began to share a lot about Apostle Arume and Apostle Selman's messages on Facebook and on his status. And one friend called it, one old Christian friend called him, are you the only Christian? You are doing this thing too much. Why? You're too spiritual. And the guy got so broken and felt so bad. And he called me and said, hey, what? Is there any problem with you being too spiritual? I said, you are telling that she has not seen anything yet. You are now becoming super spiritual. Oh, yeah, no. Because so, yeah, I stand here as your pastor. Anything you are doing spiritually that is making people angry, do it more. In fact, continue until they leave. False brethren, they will fight your liberty in God.
and put you in bondage of all forms of sin. People have become drunken. They have become all kinds of people because of false brethren. No name master. Christo ni abrantia ne say no. Many Christian sisters are victims of false brethren in the church. Look so holy. But tell that cursing is not a problem. Sleeping on my thighs are no problem. Let me put my head. Oh, you can put your head on my thighs. Are you Samson? Some of us, we need to go and see Samson to advise us. Number two, false teachers. We need to be very careful about false teachers. We encounter them. These are the things we encounter. Oh, time is not on our side. Oh. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. False teachers. Let's look at what they do. I'm just going to show the things that false teachers do. Let me read it from my favorite. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 1. In the past, there arose false prophets among God's people, just as they will continue to be false teachers who are secretly. And this is what one thing about false people is that they come in secretly. Secret. Infiltrate in your midst. Number one, what do they do? Divide you. Bringing them their destructive heresies. When you see people who cause division in church, see, they will give certain teachings that will knock a head against another head. That is a false teacher. Division. They will even deny the master. See, people are now teaching to the center that Jesus is not the only way. Have you heard those kind of teachings? Jesus is not the only way. They will even deny the master who paid the price for them, bringing swift destructions on themselves. Many will follow immoral lifestyle. One very key example, an indicator of a false teacher. Any church that you enter and you see immorality, you can even smell it. Be very careful. The false teaching story is there. I'm not the one saying it. Scriptures are saying it. Said many will become immoral because of them. That's why last week I told the characteristics perverted grace message. You remember? Yeah, false teachers. They'll pervert the grace message. They'll encourage you to live in sin. Time is not on our side. Let's go to that. The third one. False apostles. The brethren you encounter. The people you encounter. Encounters with men. I think I may continue. I want to take my time and deal with this issue. So I could have finished with false belief long time ago. I want to take my time and finish deal with these issues. When we understand what exactly we are talking about. When I start teaching on belief, the new belief system, the belief system of the kingdom, you begin to appreciate it all. So I'm not going to, we need to be grounded, because the kind of wind that is blowing in our generation, the things that is going on in our generation, if we don't know these things and we are not grounded in these things, I tell you, we can never survive. Don't forget the first scripture we read. The true picture of a mature Christian is the outflow of what? Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. False apostles. 2 Corinthians 13, 11. Oh. Media team are very spiritual. For such are false what? Apostles. Disciple what? Workers. Transforming themselves into the apostles of what? Disciple. Anadejuma. Disciple workers. Certain miracles, you yourself can say this miracle here. These are some. Don't do anything to tell you that God is here. Now, give me the verse 14. And no, he said, and no matter for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of God. Be very careful of people who you cannot, whether you don't know whether they are. I don't know how to put it, but you can't see them clearly. false apostles.
A lot is in this country. When we start with the true belief system, you see them yourself. I'll not mention it. You yourself, you will be very careful with places you go. You run away, especially Accra, you run away.
You see that this place, they have transformed themselves into an angel of light. See, they teach accurately that this, but the source of the thing, the source.
Let's know them. Verse 14.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of what?
Righteousness.
Now we know that whose end shall be according to their heart. False apostles are not known by what they do, it is their works that should.
Verse 16.
I say again, let no man. Verse 16:16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. Otherwise, yet a fool receives me not. Okay. In other verses, you shall know them by their fruit. The works of others is fruit. Right? Check another version for me. 2 Corinthians. So it is no wonder his servants are also go about pretending to be ministers of righteousness, but in the end they shall be exposed and get exactly what they deserve. False apostles is their fruits that expose them. They can teach, but their character is opposite. Be very careful of any man of God who has character issues. And they know they have character issues. And they are very proud to let people know they have character issues.
False apostle.
I hope now you can see them. Am I helping you? These are people you encounter them. They are teaching the word of God. In fact, they preach Christ very well. But they have character issues. And they are bold enough. Because they may drive my name to me. So far, I was saying to them, so for or drink beef or social media. Are you following? It's by their work, their character was for them. So by their fruit, you know them.
Be very careful.
Last one. False prophets. I hope that one that you have heard. False prophets. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. False prophets. I'll end it here because of time factor. We will continue with the part 3. False belief. I hope you are following the series. I hope you are being blessed. So I've spoken about two forms of encounters, right? Spiritual encounters and encounters with men. We look at experience. Another wild one. The experience talk about how we are led in our soulish rep. Be very careful of motivational speakers who encourage you to. Was it the pastor's page? They posted a video where a goat was trying to go and fight a cow. And they wrote that this is an effect of motivational speaker. How can a whole is a goat or sheep trying to go and fight a cow? The way the cow dealt with it then. Experiences. Let's finish with the false prophet. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive what?
Me. Let's continue.
Give me Matthew 7:15. I like Matthew 7:15. So you see one thing about them. Deception. All of them. Have you seen all of them? Deception. From false brethren to false prophets. One thing about them is that they deceive. Beyond what? False prophets. Which come to you like God? In sheep what? Come home, Rasi. But inwardly in their heart, raving what? Wolves. They will tear you apart. Most of the sisters, please. These are the brothers, they come. They will do anything to show you that they love you. When they get their way, then you will know. I know some are not here. They are not here at all. They are somewhere in Somalia. Okay. Verse 16. Ye shall know them by their heart. Be there and you see a guy with anger issues.
He can't control his zip. And then when you marry, you change. God help you. Changeable changes. God help you. The fruit is... Sometimes when I see some people like that, I wonder what kind of motivation... So, when we pass our baby plan, he's bold enough to insult other ladies and manhandle women. It's your baby, and you think you are safe. Wait, he has come in a sheep clothing. When he gets you, you see the real wolf. They are just like these false prophets. Ye shall know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs from thistles? No. Continue to verse 17. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth what? Good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth what? Evil. These are the four dangerous people you should be very careful of. You will be destroyed by them. And one thing that they all do is to deceive you. And deception is the pathway of what? False belief. I pray for you that your encounters with spirits and men will be genuine, pure, and that which is of God. May you encounter true brethren, true apostles, true teachers, true prophets, who will lead you onto the path of genuine encounter. Let your spiritual encounter bring out true worship in you. May you meet God in the hunger for power and glory. May the things that come to you as a result of spiritual encounter be a product. Oh, Balagada Sabaya. Can you lift up your voice and begin to pray? Lo Veliando Sata. Liko Vetinemi Kapa. Ito Lagada Sabaya. We call our prayer. Jesus, we pray for genuine encounters. Genuine encounters that bring out true belief. True belief. The Bible says that when we see him, we shall be as he is. Genuine encounters. Encounters that decreases us and exalt Christ. Mendo velia kupasaya. Hey, bola saya. Encounters that help us to acknowledge the lordship of Jesus. We don't want to fall on the path of false belief as a result of encounters. We can never do without encounters. Encounters are part of our spiritual journey. But let it not be that which will lead us into false belief and destroy us and destroy us. Let our spiritual growth be a pursuit of encounters that are true and from God. In the name of Jesus, while we are praying for ourselves, if any of us here is having spiritual malfunctioning and are sick, let there be a healing. Let there be a healing. That our right pursuit will be a pursuit of the Spirit. The Bible said that. These are the ones that God seeketh. They that worship him in truth and in spirit.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.